Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Gimel, the very last daf in the Masechta. And we're starting at the beginning of the 23rd Perek, which is on the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas, Marsh Miriam Sarah Basim Yaakov Moshe, Her Neshama Shel Heaven Aliyah. So Halacha tells us, Shel Adam Mechaver Kadi Adam Kadi Shemen. A person had to borrow pitchers of wine or oil on Shabbos from his friend, Uvat Shel Yomer Loi Halveni, as long as he doesn't say, lend them to me. Now there's two different ways of saying, I want to borrow something. You could either say, I want to borrow it, which in Hebrew would be Hashi'ileni. And there's another way of saying, lend it to me, which is Halveni, lend it to me. And the difference between the two of them is that halva'a is usually for a long period of time, and therefore the person who's lending them might end up writing it down on his notebook that I lent my friend pitchers of wine and oil, and that's obviously an issue. So therefore, he can only use the word of shayel and not halva'a. Moving on, v'chein ishim chaverta kikaros, a woman could also borrow loaves of bread from her friend in the same manner. Now, v'meinim aminoi, if the guy doesn't trust the other one, miniach talisa etzloi, the one who's borrowing could leave his garment by the fellow, v'aseim echash melachar Shabbos, and after Shabbos, when the guy wants his talis back, he says, look, you borrowed X, Y, and Z from me, so you have to pay me for it, or let's write it down. Also, in Yerushalayim, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, if a guy realizes that he doesn't have a Karban Pesach, he doesn't have a little lamb or goat to shecht, so he goes to Animal Meicher, if the guy doesn't trust him, he leaves his garment by him, he can eat his Karban Pesach, and after Yom Tov, he can make a cheshbin with him. A person can list off all of his guests and different yummy dishes that he has only by heart. He can mention out loud, just by heart, we're having the Klein, Sterns, Bermans, Lermans, Newmans, and Blumans, and all different dishes he's serving, but he can't read it off of something that he had written down, because we're afraid he's going to come to erase. Another thing about a suda, mafis adam imbanavim b'nei beisai al shulchan, a person could do some sort of lottery with his kids and the people of his household by the table. This is basically when he's giving out the different portions, he can make some sort of lottery to decide who gets what. As long as he doesn't have intention, Tadaf can make one portion larger and the other smaller. There's an ishim mishum kubio, which literally means dice, but it's really referring to gambling. And the general idea over here is as follows, that on Shabbos and even during the week, when we're dealing with the people of his household, he's allowed to draw lots to decide who gets which portion of food, and that's even if they're different sizes, and that's because since everyone's living in the same house, they're all together, they're one family or one household, no one's makbid on each other, so there's no issues and it doesn't look like gambling. However, when we're talking about just friends, people that are all together in the same suda, so here we have two different issues. First of all, even if they're basically the same size portions, since everyone's makbid on each other, simply drawing lots to say who gets what is like mekach u'memker, buying and selling, and for sure if they're different size portions, that's like gambling. Everyone really wants a larger portion, just like in gambling, a person really wants to win, and he thinks he is, and if he knew that he's not going to get the larger portion, or that he's not going to win the card game, for example, so he never would be involved in this in the first place, and therefore there could be an issue of gambling when we're dealing with larger and smaller portions. And we've got something similar just in regards to kachim, matilin chaloshim ala kachim b'yamtif, on yamtif, we're allowed to draw lots. In regards to kachim, this is in the base hamikdash, regarding all the karbanos that are shechted that day of Yom Tov, they are allowed to draw lots to decide which kaihanim get which portions, and that's because of chibuv mitzvah, there's not a problem, and also we don't want to cause fighting among the kaihanim. Aval loyal amanos, but not in regards to portions from karbanos that were shechted yesterday, since it could have been divided up yesterday, those lots are not allowed to be drawn today on Yom Tov. Moving on to halacha gimel, lo yiskar payolim b'shabbos, a person's not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. Lo yamar adam l'chaver liskar lo payolim. He's also not allowed to tell his friend to hire workers. This is based off of a pasuk that comes from Sefer Yeshaya, which many say these psukim before Kiddush on Shabbos day, im tashim shabbos raglecha, asoy chavasecha b'yom kodshi v'kros Shabbos oineg, and right afterwards the pasuk says, mimtsoy chavtzcha v'daber davar, mimtsoy chavtzcha means seeking your own wants, daber davar means speaking your own things that you would like to, and basically the pasuk's telling us that praiseworthy is the person who does not seek his wants and speak his regular weekday stuff on Shabbos. And this is considered a weekday activity, hiring workers or telling somebody to hire workers, so it's usher on Shabbos. Furthermore, v'in machshichin al tchom l'skar payolim l'havi peiros, one is not allowed to go to the edge of the tchom Shabbos and wait there until it gets dark. That's what machshichin al tchom means. He's by the tchom waiting for it to get dark, and his intention is to go hire workers or to go bring fruits from outside the tchom, and that's because since it would be usher to do this on Shabbos itself, he can't hire workers or pick fruit on Shabbos, so he can't be machshich al tchom to do that either. Avol machshich hu lishmar, but he is allowed to be machshich by the tchom in order to be able to go to his field right after Shabbos to watch it. That's because if his field was inside the tchom, he'd be allowed to watch it on Shabbos, so he could be machshich al tchom for this as well. And also, maybe peres biyadoi, in the course of him going to watch his field, he's allowed to pick a few fruits and bring them. That's because he wasn't being machshich al tchom in order to pick those fruits. He was being machshich al tchom in order to watch his field, which is permitted. And once he's there, he's also allowed to pick some fruit. However, now we have machlokes. Klal amar Abishol. Abishol says a rule, kol shani zake b'amirasai, rashai ani l'hachshich alav. If I'm allowed to say it, I'm allowed to talk about it, so I'm allowed to be machshich al tchom. And that's only in regards to dvar mitzvah. As we see right now, this next halacha, halacha dalid, machshichin al tchom l'fakech al iske kalav al iske hameis l'havilei arn v'tachrichin. On Shabbos, we're allowed to be machshich al tchom chum in order to right after Shabbos be able to deal with preparations for a kala or preparations to bury a mace, for example, to bring him an arayin, which is the coffin, and tachrich in the burial shroud, and that's because it has to do with the mitzvah. So this is agreed upon even by Abishal of the previous Mishnah. Now another din about a mace, goy shehevi chalilin b'Shabbos, if a guy brought flutes on Shabbos, this was standard practice back then to play flutes by funeral, and so if a guy brought these flutes on Shabbos, lo yisbar ben Yisrael, Yidin are not allowed to use them as part of their eulogy, elam ken boi makam kariv, unless they came from a close place, meaning unless they came from within the tchum. But if they came from outside the tchum, that means a guy did molacha for Yid on Shabbos, and that's also to benefit from. Furthermore, asu loy aron mechafer loy kever, if a guy made a coffin for himself, or if he dug a grave for himself, so yikbar boi Yisrael, Yid is allowed to use it. However, in bishvil Yisrael, if he did it for the Yid, lo yikbar boi lames, so the Yid is never allowed to use it. Moving on to the last halacha of the parak, halacha hey, oisin kol tarche ames, we're allowed to do anything necessary for mace on Shabbos, meaning a person died and we want to take care of the mace to the best of our ability, so we're allowed to do anything for him. For example, sachin, he could be anointed with oil, umadich anoisai, he could be washed, ubavad shalo yosus by aver, as long as not a single limb is moved. We know that one is allowed to touch muktzah, but they can't move muktzah. So you can do whatever is necessary for the mace, even though that includes touching him, as long as they don't move him. Another din, shoyim tenes akar mitachtov, they could pull out the mattress from underneath the mace, umatil anoisai alachol, and that causes him to rest on the sand. And the reason why this is allowed is bishvil shiyamtin, so he could remain there for longer. The body decomposes slower if it's on sand, which is cool, as opposed to on the mattress, which is going to heat up the body and cause it to decompose quicker. Another din, karshin es halechi, one is allowed to tie the jaw of the mace. As rigor mortis sets into the body, limbs start moving and things happen. And let's say the jaw of the mace starts opening, so it's allowed to be tied to the head. Lo shiyale, not so it should go back up, meaning not so it should close, because that's considered moving an aver. El shalo yosef, just that it shouldn't continue opening even more. And a very similar din, v'chein karish and ishbra, if one of the ceiling beams broke on Shabbos, he could support it either with a bench or with the posts of the bed. Same idea, loisha tale, not so it should go back into place, that's like baina, el shalo toisef, just that it shouldn't continue breaking and sagging. Back to discussing a mace, ein ma'amtin es a mace b'Shabbos, one is not allowed to close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos, and that's because closing eyelids is moving an aver, and as we said, it's muktzas, we're not allowed to move the aver. And v'loi b'chayl im yitzias ha'nefesh, during the week, one is not allowed to close his eyes as his soul is leaving him. If a person closes the eyes of a person as they're dying, he's considered a murderer. There's a din that a person is not allowed to touch a geises, someone who's in the death throes, they're about to die, you're not allowed to touch them, because even the slightest touch can cause them to die a second sooner. It's kind of like a flame which is sputtering. If you touch it, even the slightest, it could go out, and every single millisecond of Yiddish life is precious. Therefore, even if the person's about to die, no closing his eyes, because that makes him die sooner, and that's like murder. Hajjalach parak hashoyel, mazor finishing the 23rd parak in the Masechta. Let's go right to the 24th parak. Halacha Aleph says, Mishech Shech Bederech, a guy's along the way and it gets dark, it becomes Shabbos. Could be he left his destination too late, maybe got stuck in a lot of traffic, and he has his wallet on him. What's he supposed to do? Nice and Kisur Lenachri, he could give his wallet to a non-Jew. And even though we know that Amir Lenachri is a Shvos, it's Isid Rabbanon to tell a guy to do Malacha for you, here the Chum were afraid that if you don't let him give his wallet to a guy to take for him, he's going to end up just carrying it anyway on Shabbos, and he's going to be over Nisr Dairaisa. So better to be Matur and Isid Rabbanon for him than have him be over Nisr Dairaisa. Now, if there's no non-Jew with him, Manicha al Chamar, he could put it on his donkey, and the donkey carries it for him. Now, in order not to be over Isr Dairaisa of Mechamer, he has to wait till the donkey starts walking, then he puts his wallet on its back, and before it stops, he takes his wallet off, and that way the donkey didn't do an Akira and a Hanacha for him. Continuing to discuss this fellow who's late, and it's Shabbos already, Kofir Gimel Bez on top, Yigiel Chatzar Chitzoyna, once he comes to the outer Chatzar, meaning the first safe place in the city, Noitos HaKemel Yitalim B'Shabbos, he could take off the Kalim that are allowed to be carried on Shabbos, meaning he could unload the donkey from the non-Muktza Kalim, V'She'enu Nitalin, and the ones that are not allowed to be carried on Shabbos, because they're Muktza, Matar Sechavalin, he could just undo the ropes, V'Asak and Niflin, and the sacks fall by themselves in the Chatzar, and he's not afraid anything's going to happen to them, because again, they're in a safe place. Now, the reason why he has to undo them is because of Tsar Bali Chaim, it's not fair to leave the donkey like that the whole Shabbos, and he's afraid that these Kalim are going to break. When he undoes them, he could put some pillows or mattresses under them so that they don't shatter when they fall. Moving on to Halacha Beis, now we're going to be discussing Tircha Yaseira, extra Tircha. Even if the person is allowed to do a certain pa'ula, certain act on Shabbos, he has to make sure not to do it too much so as not to be too much Tircha. So here we discuss feeding animals. Matirin Piki Amr Flanei Behema, one's allowed to undo bundles of twigs in front of an animal. These are thin twigs or grasses that the animal eats. It can't eat it if it's tied up with a knot, so therefore he's allowed to undo the knot. He's just not allowed to spread the food in front of the animal because that's extra tircha. However, umefasus in his hakipin, he is allowed to spread out kipin, which are like very thin branches from an erez, from a cedar tree, and if he doesn't spread them out, then the the animal won't eat them. It needs to smell the cedar scent, and only then it will eat it. So that's considered the bare bones necessary in order for it to eat this. That's why he's allowed to spread them out. Avalois is zirin, but he's not allowed to spread out zirin. This is really piki amir. It's the same thing. It's just that when we call them zirin, it's referring to when they're tied up with three ties, with three knots, and that means that they're so tightly packed together, it's very difficult for the animal to eat them. But nonetheless, once the tie is undone, the animal could eat them. It might be difficult, but he could eat them, so you're not allowed to spread them out. Another din, in maraskin, one is not allowed to shred or break up into little pieces. Lo'es ha-shachas, not like straw stubble, which is animal food. Lo'es ha-cheruvin, and not carib. Lifnei behema, bein daka bein gasa. He can't do this for an animal, whether it's a small little animal or it's a big one, even though it's easier for the animal to eat. That's called tirchei asera. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda mater b'cheruvin l'daka, Rabbi Yehuda allows one to break up carib into little pieces for a daka, for a thin animal, because if not, it can't eat it. On Talacha Gimel, continue to discuss feeding animals on Shabbos. Ein oivisin asagamal v'loy darsin. One is not allowed to force feed a camel, and he can't stuff food into its throat either. That's tirchei asera. Avol mal itin, but he could do this, which is basically pouring food in its mouth in a place where it could spit it back up. Force feeding it with tons of food or stuffing food into its throat where it can't spit it back up. That's either called tirchei asera, or because we're afraid he's going to end up crushing up the food, which is a problem. But being malat it is not a problem. A very similar din, just discussing a different animal. In memarnes ha'galim, no force feeding calves to fatten them. Avol mal itin oisam, but we could be malat them. Again, that's where the food is placed into their mouth in a way that they could spit it back up. Similarly, mahalkitin latarin galim, we could do the same thing to chickens, putting food into their mouths in a way that they could spit it up if they wanted to. V'nosin mayim al gabei morson, one is also allowed to put water onto bran, which is for chicken feed, avoloi gavlin, but he can't mix it or knead it, and that's because of the issue of lush. Another din, v'ein nosin mayim lefnei dvarim lefnei yonim shel shayvach, no putting water in front of bees or doves that are in the dove coat. That's because since they don't rely on him for food, it's considered tirchei asera to go about feeding them. Avol nosin lefnei avazim v'tarin gavlin lefnei yonim here desiyos, but one is allowed to place water in front of geese, chickens, and home pigeons. That's because all of them rely on him for their food, so it's not considered tirchei asera. On to another din regarding feeding animals, halacha dalid, mechatchinas hadalum lefnei behema, one's allowed to cut gourd in front of animals. That's even though gourd is usually for people, they're still allowed to be cut up for animals, and v'sanaveil lefnei aklavim, a dead animal is allowed to be cut up for dogs. The chiddush over here is that even if the animal died on Shabbos, it's still not a problem of muktza, because it's muchan la'adam before Shabbos, it's muchan lebehema on Shabbos, and according to the chachamim, muchan la'adam, have muchan lebehema, that's perfectly fine. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no, im lehis an avail of Shabbos, if the animal wasn't an avail, if it wasn't dead before Shabbos, asura, it's asur to cut it up. It's not considered muchan, it's muktza, it wasn't prepared before Shabbos for this use. He obviously holds muchan la'adam, loy have muchan lebehema. On to halacha hey, the very last halacha in the Masechta, mefir nedarim b'Shabbos, one is allowed to be mefir nedarim on Shabbos. Hafaras nedarim is specifically regarding when a woman or a girl makes a neder, the husband or father is allowed to be mefir it, he's allowed to be mevatel it, no problem, no questions asked, and any sort of neder is allowed to be mufar on Shabbos. That's because the Torah tells us that hafaras nedarim is only allowed to take place the day that it was made, and therefore after Shabbos it's going to be too late. So no matter what type of neder it is, a husband or father is allowed to be mefir this neder on Shabbos. However, v'nishal in nedarim she'en l'tzarech Shabbos, when it comes to she'ela of a neder, that's only allowed to be done in regards to a neder that has to do with Shabbos. She'ela of a neder is when a person has to go to a chacham to have him be matir the neder, and this is only allowed to be done if it's a Shabbos related neder. For example, a person said, I'm not going to eat on Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, so then he go to chacham to have a taras nedarim. But any other neder could wait for after Shabbos. Another din, piking is hama'ar, one can close up the window, he could shutter it if there's too much light. Umaydin is hamatlis, one can measure the size of a cloth to see if it's large enough to be in mekabel toma. Vesam mikvah, he could also measure mikvah to see if it has the right amount of water in it, and that's obviously going to determine whether it's a kosher mikvah. And even though we know that measuring on Shabbos is usually usur, these two things are mutter because they're l'tzarich mitzvah. And we conclude with the story. There's a story in the days of the father of tzaddik and the days of Abishal ben Bitnis. Shapakos ha'ma'ar b'tafiach, they closed up the window with an earthenware kli. The kashrus ha'makid b'gemi, and they tied an earthenware kli with a reed. Leidam yesh b'gigas paseach tefach v'mlav, to know if the barrel had opening of a tefach or not. Now let's pause to explain what we just read over here. There's many different halachas that were just mentioned, and this all has to do with Toma. We know that Toma escapes through windows, so if we have an open window in a house and there's a mace inside, the Toma, so to speak, flies out the window. If the window's closed, so the Toma's stuck inside the house and can't escape through the window. Now let's say we have two homes right next to each other and there's a mace in one, so if the window's closed, the Toma does not go to the other house. But if the window is open, then the Toma flies through the window into the next house, and that means that all the people in Kalim in the neighboring house are going to be Tomei. And it would be the same thing if we have two homes next to each other and there's a path separating them, but that path is covered with a roof. So for all intents and purposes, home number one, the the path. And home number two are really all considered under one roof. And therefore, if the window is open, the tumah is going to fly through, go across the path, and go into the next house, being metame everything. And that's exactly what the story was over here. We had these two homes with a path in between, but the path was not covered. All there was a barrel, a giges, on top of the path. And so the first thing that people in home one did was put this tefiach, this earthenware kli, in the window. That's basically like closing the window. It blocks the tumah from going through. And so that was tumah stopper number one. The problem is they had to remove that earthenware kli from the window. Another question was, this barrel, which is over the path, it's technically considered like a roof that would now be connecting the two homes, and that means that the tumah would go from house one into house two. But they realized that there's a crack in the barrel. And if that crack was a tefach wide, that means that the tumah would escape through that crack and then would not go into the next house. So they had to measure that crack. How do they do that? So that's what we had said. Kashru samakida begemi. They took this little earthenware kli, which was the width of a tefach. They tied it with a string. Then they would measure to see if that crack in the barrel was a tefach wide to determine whether or not everything in house number two was going to be tameh. Now we conclude with the following. Medivrim lamanu. From them we learn shapaikikin umaydin v'kashin b'shabes. They were allowed to close up a window and we could do a measurement for a mitzvah and we could also do this tying for a mitzvah on Shabbos and there's no problem. Ha'ajonach perkem yishehech shech v'slikol mesachas Shabbos. Malzor finishing the 24th and last perkem mesachas Shabbos. Just like we zechah finish this mesach together, we should be zechah to finish all of Shas Yerushalmi together. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a brand new mesachta, mesachas Erevin. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.